Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 141 of the Panelcast. This is Anthony, back again with your host, as always, AJ.
Hi.
This time around, we've got a little bit of news for you. We'll be reviewing some really interesting stuff from my point of view, and AJ will be talking to you about a book that he just finished reading that he's in love with.
Ready Player One! Woo!
All that and more after the break. Hello, everyone. This is Anthony White of the Panelcast, asking you to check out my bi-monthly column, Messages from the Ether, on the Forbidden Panel website. It's a column about my adventures at conventions, as well as my experiences playing new and old video games and experiencing new anime. That's Messages from the Ether, only on ForbiddenPanel.com. Welcome back, everybody. It is time again to give you our brief coverage of interesting news tidbits. So I'll kick it off. Well, no, I won't kick it off. I'll kick it over to AJ, and I'll let him kick it off.
It's funny that you say the words brief and tidbits all in one sentence.
Hey, no it isn't. I said our brief coverage of news tidbits. So the news articles are tidbits.
Right. I mean, you used them all in one sentence, which, you know, leads me to believe that people think I'm wearing briefs to cover my tidbits.
My brain did not make that association. My brain would never make such an association. My brain avoids thinking about your tidbits.
Not anymore. Moving forward on these news stories, we don't have much in the way of news this week, but what we do have hopefully will bring a smile to your face. The first little bit I have is from Guillermo del Toro. I can roll my R's. Del Toro confirms to Variety that his immediate next project is a small independently financed movie that he is keeping under tight wraps. The other week came word that Pacific Rim sequel had been put on hold and was even rumored to be canceled. Del Toro says he believes the film is still very much a go. As far as I'm concerned, it's not canceled, just postponed. Right now, we have to put a budget and screenplay together, present it to Universal and Legendary, and they will make a decision. Legendary's John Jajny adds, the movie continues to be in development, and we're still working with him. I don't know if you guys have been seeing it amongst the floods of stupid Facebook posts that they're going to charge you now, that hoax coming back. But amongst all that has been rumors of Pacific Rim 2 being canceled. Well, straight from the horse's mouth right there, it is not being canceled. It's just, he's moving on to another project. However, I'm very saddened knowing that because his little indie film leads me to believe that he's not going to be doing In the Mouth of Madness yet, which I'm very excited to see as well. So we'll see what happens, but hurry up with Pacific Rim 2 already, dude. Damn. It's not like we need a lot of story.
I mean, if he's still got to go through screenplay and budgeting and all that, it's in very, very early development still. So that maybe he kind of stalled out on that one a little bit and decided to cleanse the palate with the indie film he's working on.
Again, it doesn't need a lot of story. We already know.
But it's got to be something. I mean, you only have, giant robots, giant monsters. That's cool and all, but you got to do something in order to get a studio to give you money. You can't just say we're going to fill the screen with, Voltron versus Godzilla for 2 hours.
It's funny you bring up that comparison. Remind me of that when I do my reviews today.
Alright. Well, I will just snatch attention away from that and move on to my topic for right now.
Tidbits, briefs, snatch. Man, where's your mind today?
In the gutter, but it's usually there anyway. So, at a recent press conference, Sony Computer Entertainment Japan Asia's press conference, they revealed that there's an upcoming DLC for the game From Software's game Bloodborne. I don't know how many of you out there have played Bloodborne, but if you haven't, if you played Dark Souls, Demon Souls, any of those games, any of From Software's games, you have an idea as to what Bloodborne is like. I actually played Bloodborne. I wrote an article about it. You should go read it if you haven't read it yet. The game itself, the gameplay, the graphics, it's all fantastic. So hearing that there's going to be a DLC increasing the content level of the game is just kind of awesome to me. Sony describes the DLC portion of the game. Experience the nightmare of the hunters who once guarded Bergenworth's deepest, darkest secrets and uncover the mystery behind Hjarnam's sinister past in the old Hunter's Expansion DLC for Bloodborne. Journey to a world where hunters from the past are trapped forever. Find multiple new outfits and weapons to add to your hunter arsenal and explore brand new stages full of dangers, rewards, and deadly beasts to hunt. Bloodborne was kind of awesome, largely because of the environment. So, taking that and, you know, you got pieces of the history as you progressed through the game, as you figured out what was going on, as you figured out what the world was. So, dropping you into that history and forcing you to explore it even deeper is pretty amazing. It's set to be released digitally in November 24th, and From Software is going to release a new edition of Bloodborne called Bloodborne the Old Hunters Edition, which will include the DLC with the original game. That's slated for a December 3rd release. The DLC by itself, if you've already got Bloodborne, is only going to be $20, and it looks like it's going to be more than enough content for the price tag.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about because I've yet to play the game.
Well, that's because it's only on newer generation consoles, isn't it?
Oh, is that a burn?
Little bit.
Did you just give me a burn?
Just a little bit.
Wow. However, even with that burn, I'm still a lot darker than you. Moving forward. For those of you, like myself, who've been waiting 10 years for this movie to come out, Brad Bird has finally released some information on The Incredibles Part 2. When asked if the past decade since the first film release had any impact on his view of the characters and his approach to the sequel, he states, "I don't think I would have made this movie right away, nor would I want to. I always wanted to break things up with something else. I know some directors who have done a movie, and then the very next thing to do is a sequel to that movie. Unless it's Lord of the Rings, and it was always conceived of us doing it that way, I will always want to break it up with something else and then come back to it. That said, I'm really looking forward to playing with this playset again." Bird does confirm that some of the leftover ideas he had from the first film will be making an appearance in the follow-up. "I had a bunch of ideas that I wanted to put in The Incredibles, but they just didn't fit. Certain ideas fit, but other things make you go, 'This is great, but I had to give it up. Give up two other things that make matter more to me than to get this other thing in.' So, there were a pile of ideas left over from The Incredibles, but it's not a big thing. There were little scenes and things I was interested in. I wanted to come up with a sort of overarching idea that connected to the first film that went somewhere different. That's the one that took a little bit more time. As of right now, The Incredibles 2 does not have an official release date, but Brad Bird is currently working on it to be his next film after the Tomorrowland DVD releases next week. So, yay. Finally, The Incredibles 2.
Seriously. I did actually love the first film, and I was wondering what happened to it. Because, you know, with all the success that The Incredibles had and all the popularity behind it, and no sequel. 10 years.
Cliffhanger, but no sequel.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you leave us off with an entire family of superheroes ready to take on all manner of foes, and nothing. For a decade.
Which makes you wonder, where's his super suit? Hopefully they get the same voice actors back, because that was what provided a lot of energy. I want to hear no capes being screamed again. I want to hear bitching about a super suit. I want to hear, you know, everything. The underlord, all that stuff that comes out. I want to be enriched and enveloped back in that world again. And can you imagine how 10 years ago, not only was the story and the plot and characters awesome and engrossing, but so are the effects. Can you imagine what it's going to be like now?
Yeah.
With the advances in technology and special effects that we have now,
I'm really
that movie's going to be like fully immersive.
It looked great 10 years ago. So if they keep up with the times, this one will look even better. So that should be just fantastic.
It's going to be, you know, Final Fantasy FMV quality.
Whenever we actually see it, because no release date yet. But that wraps us up for our news segment this week. We'll be back with you with reviews right after this break.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the panel cast.
Welcome back, everybody. So this is our review section. And while I have wonderful, glowing things to say about my review, let's toss it over to Anthony first for his boring review. Anthony?
Boring. Okay, so I'm a tech geek, but it's not boring. Google's Nexus event, their Nexus 2015 event, took place today, and they announced a whole mess of stuff that, well, I find horribly fascinating. So we've got the new Nexus phones that got announced today, both the 5 and the 6. So we've got a Nexus 5X and a Nexus 6P that should be launching. Pre-orders are open now, but the phones won't actually start shipping until November. Google also announced the next version of their Android OS, Marshmallow, which should start pushing out as early as next week to certain devices, particularly those that are running a pure Google OS. None of that TouchWiz or any of that crap. But let's see, what else have we got?
I like the underlying score, S'more to Love.
Yeah, that I saw that too. That was kind of amusing. We've also got a reimagining of the Chromecast. So the new version of the Chromecast is being released, and Google showed that off today.
I kind of like this version of the Chromecast. I mean, the current Chromecast, you actually plug it into the back of your TV. This version, you plug it into an HDMI cable. It's designed to free up the clutter behind your TV. So if you're like myself, who has, you know, a flat screen mounted, then instead of having to reach back there and unplug a device to plug it that Chromecast in, I just unplug my DVD player and plug it into my Chromecast, and I'm good to go.
And it's also cool, the design of them looks really nifty. I mean, the fact that it's multiple colors, but it's just a little pod now. So
I mean, sure, it looks easier to lose, but at the same time, it looks like a mini speaker or a mini headphone. True.
So, I mean, but the way it's designed, if you looked at the side of a TV or at the bottom of a TV, depending on the age of the TV, and you saw the original Chromecast dongle sticking out, you're looking at it thinking, what the heck is that thing? The new design is
The power cable coming out of it and everything.
The new design is actually cool enough that if you just have it sitting like on your TV stand next to the TV as it's connected to the HDMI cable, it looks like a device that belongs, and with all the different color choices, you can kind of customize it for yourself, which is pretty nifty. They also released Chromecast Audio, which for me is something that's just freaking amazing. Something that I can connect directly into my speakers. So, you know, if you don't have a Bluetooth speaker system or anything like that, you connect your Chromecast Audio to your existing speaker system and stream to that Chromecast Audio, and it pipes out to all the speakers.
Now, what's also awesome about that is, you know, as a side job I DJ weddings. So now, instead of having all this stuff hooked up, this big hub that I have to have, I can literally just splice all my speakers into one Chromecast music and run it from my phone so I can actually attend the wedding or, you know, hit on all the bridesmaids like I want to.
That does make the DJ's job a little bit easier, doesn't it?
It
does
indeed.
You aren't stuck behind a booth. You can move around.
Freedom.
Freedom is good. And we also got a look at the next generation of Chromebooks today. The Pixel and Pixel C lineup. The Pixel C is completely intended to, you know, kill the iPad Pro or the Surface. And as an Android user, I'm more likely to go with it because I'm familiar with it. But the specs on it are kind of awesome. because it can be used as a tablet or as a laptop with the detachable keyboard, and a 2560 by 1800 resolution on the screen. That's amazing resolution for a 10-inch screen. Integrated storage, 32 gigabytes, 64 gigabytes. Price tag is amazing too. You know, starting at like $500 for something like that is just awesome. And the Chromebook itself, the actual Pixel Chromebook, I think Apple and Microsoft should be scared. I really, really do.
This Chromebook, I mean, I'm a big fan of my Chromebook anyway. I'm one of the few people that actually knows how to use one or can actually get what I expect out of one. So when I'm looking at this, though, I'm like, man, this is beautiful. Not even the design of it, which in itself is kind of crafty. The fact that the bezel, the back end of the bezel, the rotating part, has chrome etched into it. But just the power, man. It's you can get an i7 core system with 16 gigs of RAM and a 64 gig SSD. Okay. Yeah. Done.
That's an iPad Air killer right there.
I'm done. Let's do it. I'm done.
I think my one complaint, it is beautiful design, but my one complaint is that it looks too much like an iPad. A MacBook Air. It looks too much like Apple's design. It's bad design sense, because it isn't. It's actually fantastic design sense, but the oversized touchpad and the color scheme and the keyboard to color scheme and all of that is overly reminiscent of a MacBook Air.
Yeah, but I'm sure, like with everything else, that the other Chromebooks that have come out, there'll be color choices and whatnot to it. So it won't actually, it more than likely will not be 100% reminiscent of that.
That's true. Google is really, really good about allowing you to customize the devices that you purchase to make them, to personalize them, to make them yours, rather than just what they put out there is what you get.
And let's, you know, ignore all the other specs and everything you've heard us talk about. The one big selling point for me personally on this device, it's you can charge it via USB. So instead of carrying around, you know, your power cord, your adapter and whatnot, finding a wall outlet to plug in, or anything like that, you can actually run a battery pack into your Chromebook and be fine. You can go to the new Starbucks wireless stations, plug that in, and be good to go. You know, you don't actually have to carry around power. All you got to do is bring your Chromebook.
And, you know, with...
And it's got two of those ports. So not only can you charge your Chromebook, but you can charge other devices at the same time.
But one of the specs that really kills it for me, up to 12 hours of battery life.
Right.
That's freaking amazing. It's like I'm familiar with Google Docs. I'm comfortable with Google Docs. I don't absolutely require, Microsoft Office or anything like that in order to be productive. Google Docs is comfortable for me. So having those apps built into a Chromebook, not to mention the 1 terabyte of storage that you get for 3 years for purchasing a Chromebook Pixel, and 12 hours of battery life.
And let's be honest, in 3 years, Google Chrome will have a new version of the Chromebook out so that you'll be able to upgrade without having to worry about losing your 1 terabyte space, because I'm sure whatever you upgrade to in 3 years will also come with free storage space online, so you don't have to worry too much about it.
So, I mean, the specs on it are amazing.
It supports 4K video output and touchscreen.
I want 3, not 1. I want 3. I want to replace... I want 2 Chromebook Pixels, and I want a Pixel C. I want 3. I want all 3. One will be for business, one will be for personal use, and one will be because, you know, I need a tablet.
Right. What's sad is we're going to go spend all this money on this device, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to read comic books on it.
Yeah. There's something wrong with that.
Just saying.
But I have to admit, my new phone was... They showed it off today. I will be buying a Nexus 6P. I can't help it. The specs on it are just fantastic, and I've held off. I'm still running my old Galaxy S3, and I've held off waiting for the phone that really would do it for me, and I think Google finally is releasing. I also decided I wanted a pure Android phone for my next phone. You know, I was tired of all the bloatware that comes with HTC's version of Android or Samsung's version of Android. I just wanted to strip it all down. So, you know, 2560 by 1440 on a 5.7-inch screen. And the fact that the screen is made of Gorilla Glass, very good, because I carry my phones in my pocket. I didn't want to destroy the screen. I have a habit of doing that kind of thing. 3 gigs of RAM in a smartphone means I can multitask till the end of time.
Multitask.
And granted, there is my one drawback of not having expandable memory, not taking the micro SD card, but when you can get the phone in 32, 64, or 128 gig specs, that kind of does it. Plus, especially if I find a USB on the go cable that'll fit, I can still hook up thumb drives if absolutely necessary. So,
or you pick up the 1 terabyte Bluetooth. Oh my god, I can't even think. External hard drive, and you're good to go.
Yeah, but then I'd have to tote an external hard drive around with me. That would get complicated.
Yep, maybe. Complicated. Anyway.
I kind of got my car rigged, so I guess it wouldn't be too complicated.
If we're done gushing.
Yes, yes. I will stop gushing about the tech. I will pass it off over to you and let you talk.
Actually, you know, like I said, all this stuff is awesome. If you want to find out more information, you can go to store.google.com, or you can look online. You can actually Google it and find all the information about all these awesome devices yourself. If you decide to pick one up, shoot us a little email. Let us know what you think about it and send some pictures so that we can rub it in Anthony's face and make him cry. I will video it and put it on Instagram, him crying over the fact that you have a device he doesn't have yet. And with that, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with my review of Ready Player One.
Hi, this is Rosie from Rosie's Reading Corner. Check out my blog at ForbiddenPanel.com and discover new, and some not-so-new, graphic novels, manga, and other geeky reads along with me.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue on with our review section, and I talked forever before, so I think it's AJ's turn.
No.
Too bad. I say it's your turn.
But I'm the boss.
Point?
Set and match. So you're going to have to forgive me during this review, because much like Anthony was gushing over the tech he reviewed in the last section, I will be doing the same in this section. First off, let me just say something that I have to admit to. I read Ready Player One, and I was introduced to this book a few years ago by a colleague of ours, Rosie, and she had nothing but great things to say about this book. However, when I looked at the cover, it looked unappealing. It didn't grab me, and it felt off, so I put it aside and didn't bother reading it. Yes, I'm guilty of judging a book by its cover, literally. But I saw recently in the news that the movie rights have been picked up and they were moving forward with it, so I decided, you know what, I'll give it a shot. Man, if I had to choose one word to describe this book, that word would be perfect. And I don't say that about anything. Ready Player One is a modern retelling of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, in that in the year 2044... reality is an ugly place. And I'm reading this from the wiki so that I don't mush it up with my own words and spoilers. The only time teenage Wade Watts really feels alive is when he's jacked into the virtual utopia known as the Oasis. Wade's devoted his life to studying the puzzles hidden within this world's digital confines, puzzles that are based on the creator's obsession with pop culture of decades past and that promises massive power and fortune to whoever can unlock them. But when Wade stumbles upon the first clue, he finds himself beset by players willing to kill to take the ultimate prize. The race is on, and if Wade's going to survive, he'll have to win and confront the real world he's always been so desperate to escape. There, now I've closed the laptop on the wiki page so that now I can just talk freely about this book. It is phenomenal. For those of us that grew up in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s, hell, even current times, this book references everything that we have ever cherished or held dear. To give you a reference, the writer, Ernest Cline, wrote probably one of the best comic book or geek movies out there, Fanboys. If you've seen Fanboys, no, it's about a bunch of Star Wars geeks that are trying to make it to Skywalker Ranch. Ernest Cline wrote that movie. So take the geekiness that you saw in that movie and place it into this book, and you have a roadmap of my childhood, all of our childhoods. I mentioned before, to remember the comparison that you had made, in one of the fight scenes, one of the players is in Mecha Godzilla fighting Transor Z. Okay? That's how epic this
fantastic
is. You have no problem imagining everything that's happening in this game, in this book. See, I called it a game. That's how into it I was. And when I read it, I felt good. That's what was weird about it. Like, it's not a self-help book. It's not nothing, you know, cheesy or corny. It's just, when you're reading it, you feel like this kid. You are immersed in this world so much because of all the reference points and all the love that was put into this that you just feel good reading it. Even when bad stuff's going on, everything, because everything that's happens to this kid in this book is 100% relatable. Because not only as a geek child did you have to live through these problems, but you wished you had some place to escape to, some place that held everything you held dear to you in your life in one spot. I mean, there's references to Short Circuit, there's references to Cowboy Bebop, Battleship Toshinden, there's references to Voltron, the Herculoids, Zerg, Dungeons and Dragons. I could go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, this is us. That's what this book is. Where World War Z was a Bible for zombie lovers, Ready Player One is the Bible for geeks. And I cannot recommend it enough. Now, I was extremely excited to find out, when I had first heard that it had been picked up as a movie, movie, book translations, crap, whatever. But it's been picked up and been fought for by Steven Spielberg. He has decided that he wants this book. That, to me, gives me hope, because Steven Spielberg was the master of the 80s.
And he doesn't do anything small.
No. Remember how I said this book was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory over the modern age? Well, Steven Spielberg seemed to believe the same thing, so much so that he has personally hunted down Gene Wilder and begged him to come out of retirement to star in this movie.
Wow.
That's how epic this book is. And when I finished reading the book, I wasn't upset that the book was over. I wasn't mad at the cheesy 80s ending that it came out. I was content. I was happy the book was over because I was happy how the ending went down.
It felt completed.
It felt good. Whole. Yes. It felt like it was supposed to. I want to go and start reading it again. And I finished this book last night. That just tells you how awesome of a book and story it is. And it's impressive because this is Ernest Cline's first book. So to have done this with just one book, man, I can't wait to read his next book, which is Armada, which has also been picked up for a movie. So, and this one is all, our motto is supposed to be all high-tech space adventures. Holy shit, I'm down, let's go! The bottom line is, I made a huge mistake in not reading this book earlier, judging it by its cover. That was my bad, and I immediately understood and regretted it when I picked it up and started reading it. I opened the page, and half an hour later I was on chapter 5, and I didn't want to stop. And I had been looking for excuses to find a way to a coffee shop so that I can finish reading this book. So much so that I was upset when real life issues came in the way, because I just wanted to finish this book. I couldn't wait to delve back into the world that this writer had created, which is ironic considering that is what the book is about. The characters delving into a virtual reality world and continuing on with their imaginary lives inside of there. I wanted to do that as well. So, yeah. I mean, I can't gush any more over this book than I already have. Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. Pick it up. It's fantastic.
So it sounds like I've got something else to add to the top of my must-read list.
This book has made it to my number 4 favorite book of all time. And that's not easy to do considering how much of a reader I am. So
it's pretty high on the list, actually.
Yes.
I'm going to have to pick this one up and give it a read myself. I know I can find the hours. Well, I don't sleep. It's
You're good. Going on a trip coming up, man. Now you have something to read on the plane.
Yes, I do. So, Ready Player One. The author is?
Ernest Cline.
If you haven't read it, go pick it up. Check it out. Hunt it down on Amazon. Download the ebook. Go to your local bookstore and find yourself a copy to fall in love with.
Something. So, just find a corner of the world to sit in and take it over. Because you'll be there a while. Trust me.
That wraps us up for reviews this week. We'll be back with you to close things up right after this break.
Hey everybody, this is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RibbetsComics@Facebook.com, and you can take a look at my blogspot at RibbetsComics@Blogspot.com, and I hope to see you guys there.
All right, everybody. Thanks for coming back. So that wraps up this episode of the Panelcast. If you were wondering, we did see a couple movies, but none of them were worth mentioning. Don't go see The Scorch Trials. It's complete shite. We got about halfway through Green Inferno before the theater told us to get out because it broke. So, nothing too exciting on that end. However, this week we will be going to go see Sicario as well as The Martian. I know that a couple other films are coming out that may be even more worth our attention, but these two have grabbed us for some reason and just can't seem to let go. And after reading Ready Player One, I'm ready to be held again.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I'm just going to leave that one out there as it is.
Oh, thank you. Just deny me my need for human compassion and touchability. Let's see how it is. However, we will be coming back to you in 2 weeks. Sorry for the 1 week delay in this panel cast. Again, I was too busy reading and Anthony was being Anthony. But we will be back in 2 weeks, hopefully, with some interesting stuff, because we are sending Anthony out to New York for New York Comic Con. Yay!
Yeah, going to be a long trip, but based on everything that I've come across, all the people that are supposed to be there, I don't know what I'll be able to get, what pictures I might be able to get, who I might be able to get interviews with. I actually got myself a press badge for this one, so I have no idea what kind of content I will be coming back with, but I'm looking forward to it because this is the biggest comic convention on the East Coast.
It is the East Coast version of San Diego Comic-Con, from my understanding.
Which means I'm going to go insane because the crowds are going to drive me absolutely nuts. But you know what? If you happen to be on the East Coast, if you happen to have a pass to New York Comic-Con, look me up. Talk to me on the floor. Make me feel grounded and whole again. I will be glad of it.
He'll be the one guy that looks like an alien that's not actually dressed like an alien.
Alien? What? Yes. I'm not an alien.
Predator. My bad.
There you go.
Max Brooks called him a predator.
He sure as hell did. Never met the guy before. Never said anything to him. I buy his book and he calls me a predator. You know what? I own that now. I don't care.
At least he didn't call you a child predator.
I would have hurt him for that one, actually.
No, because you're calling me a child.
Famous or not, I would have hurt him for that one.
Anyway, you can hit up Anthony, anthony@forbiddenpanel.com. Shoot him an email. Let him know if you want to set up a meetup or anything like that. Hey, ladies, he is single and available. Woo! So if you like predators, hit him up.
I don't wow, that sounds horribly, horribly wrong.
Who knows
man,
the
don't
kind
get
of
me arrested
now,
or
buddy.
Anything.
Jeez. So, on the next to Catch It, Anthony. But yeah, so New York Comic Con is coming up in 2 weeks. Anthony will be out there. I will be at Four Color Fantasies this next weekend, October 3rd, for the annual meeting of exhausted comic book creators for 24-Hour Comic Book Day. Please come on out and say hi and show your support. Bring me a Trenta. I would love you forever. But coming up is Kamikaze, which we will have a booth at. So, yeah, if you can't make it up to 24-Hour, if you can't meet up with Anthony in New York, make sure you save up, come out to Kamikaze, and give us some love. If you mention anything about the panel cast, we'll give you a free shirt. It may be a blank white t-shirt that I have in my sweat bag, but it'll be a free shirt, I promise. So, also keep track of us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all those wonderful places, especially with the conventions and things going on. If you want to see updates and see other things that we're seeing, check out our Instagram for that and all the other social media websites that I just listed off. If you can't be a part of it physically, at least you can be a part of it digitally. So it's your turn to be the predator for us. So yeah, I think that's about it. Anthony, any final words?
I'm without words right now. I've just been... words.
We're going to change his email to anthonythepredator@forbiddenpanel.com. But until that happens, it's anthony@forbiddenpanel.com. Check him out. Head over to the website. He put up an awesome review this week of a new anime called Gangsta, which I understand is getting a lot of hits and a lot of people actually starting to watch. So obviously people value his opinion somewhere in some foreign countries. I am AJ, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you again in 2 weeks.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.